What up, witches, and welcome to Witch and a Bitch in a Podcast. I'm your host, Darren.
And I'm Vicky. How are you all today? I hope you're all very, very well.
Do you know, you giggle every time I start my little intro.
I know.
Is it that funny?
No, I don't know what it is.
Or is it because the voice changes? I'm like, what up, witches?
I think that's what it is. I think it's what it is.
It's my podcasting voice. It's like my radio voice, or when I used to work in call centers, my call center voice, customer service voice.
Yeah, see, that's it. It's just that. And then also there's that little split second between when we say we're going to start and then the recording doesn't actually start for a little bit. So it's that.
Anyway, so we, for 2021, we want to try something a little different with this podcast.
Yay.
So for those tuning in on YouTube, unfortunately, it's going to be the same old experience.
It's all the same.
But what we thought we would do for 2021, just because Vicky and I have talked about, like, there were times when we thought about, oh, what if we do an episode about, like, music, like spiritual music that we listen to when we're doing ritual, or when we're doing, you know, chakra work, or when we're doing meditation or whatever. And, like, rather than having an episode about music, because I would be here for a year.
I was going to say, we'd be here forever, just listening to different songs and different things, because then there's all different artists for different areas and all sorts of stuff.
So we just thought what we might do a little differently is we might actually just, on the episode on the podcast, because we have the functionality to do this, thank you, Anchor, for this amazing feature, we're actually going to, like, periodically throughout the episode throw to a song.
Yeah.
Which would just play through music service. So
perfect.
Yeah. I believe it will work on all platforms. We've never done it before.
We've never done it yet.
If it doesn't work, then
it'll be a lot of blank air. That's okay.
Or, like, I don't know, because it might just play through if they're not subscribed to that service. I don't know how it works.
Just might not work.
It'll just be like, oh, thanks for that song. And
but they'll be like, nothing. What are you talking about? What song?
So we're going to try this. So we want to hear from you. If you tried it out and you liked it, let us know. A, did it work? B, what platform were you listening on?
Yes.
And C, what do you think? And do you want more of this? Or should we just go back to our regularly scheduled program?
Well, see, it kind of gives us that radio show vibe now, doesn't it?
Ooh, look at us.
Look at us.
We could have like Witch FM.
How good would that be?
Oh, can you imagine?
Oh.
That's it. How do you get funding to set up a radio?
Yeah, station? I was gonna say, how do we do this?
We could get triple 1.1.
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, that's so cool.
Although here in Melbourne we have 101.9, which is very close, and that's Fox FM. I think if you go triple 1.1, I don't know whether it would still pick up the frequency. Anyway, I don't know enough about radio.
It could be too close. That's okay.
Next minute, we need to get funding to set up an actual radio station.
Why not?
So,
we can manifest this stuff.
Right. Well, especially if we do a little bit of chakra work. Hint,
correct.
Hint, nudge, nudge.
Correct.
We could clear any blockages out of our life and then manifest.
Using those centers, those particular centers, to manifest that energy.
You like my little segue there?
Random as it was. That was so good. I loved it. I love when you come with these. So, as you might have guessed, then we're going to be chatting about chakras today.
I was going to throw something random and my brain blanked. I was getting back. We're going to be talking about, and I was going to say something really stupid.
I was trying to think of something.
Didn't work. Anyway, apparently I'm not quick enough.
Oh, well, you did the good segue, though. It's all good. It's great.
But yeah, so we're going to be talking about chakras today.
Yay!
So, Vicky, I would like to ask you, first, how is the word pronounced?
So, most people say chakra, but it's actually really pronounced chakra.
Yeah.
However, I started using that for a while in my yoga classes, and everybody kind of looked at me like I was an idiot and I don't know how to speak properly.
Excuse me, miss. They're called chakras. Okay. Yeah. Shut up, Karen.
Yeah, that's right.
By the way, I don't mean Vicky's mum.
No. she's a C. Yeah, so I gave up and went back to chakras.
Yeah, no, because I've been corrected by one of my friends. Yeah. Shout out to Shivani. She's like, they're chakras, honey, because she lived in an ashram in like India, and like so obviously learned from people who speak Sanskrit. Yeah. And whatever. And yeah. She's like, it's chakra, it's not chakra. I'm like, I know, but if I say chakra, everyone's like, what?
What are you talking about?
Yeah, and do you know, every time I think of chakra, do you know what I think of?
What?
The chakram from Xena. Because it's a round thing that she throws, it like spins. And she does that. That's where she does that. Sorry if I just made you go deaf. all of our Arabs in the house. Any Arab listeners?
Yes.
Whoop, whoop. I hear you.
I love it. I love it.
Anyways, I've digressed. Wow, what a tangent. So, no, I always think of the chakram because it's literally...
That's really cool, though, because it's that circle. And that's what sort of the translation in Sanskrit is to mean a wheel or a disc.
Or Xena's weapon.
Or Xena's weapon.
Close, but yeah.
That's it. And it's spinning as well because they're spinning discs. So I think that's a great little analogy.
Yeah. I wonder if Xena was into her chakras. Probably maybe not. In ancient Greece, I don't think they really had much contact with the Hindus
that's it, because it does originate from Tantra, and which is like ancient, thousands of years old, and I guess it's also why a lot of it's been integrated into like Western magic and things like that, is because there isn't anything like it.
There's nothing equivalent. Like Eastern philosophy, when it comes to things like yin and yang, and when it comes to like the meridian or chi flow, like, you know, the meridian points in the body, acupressure, acupuncture, all of that stuff, it just doesn't exist in the West.
No,
so
there's nothing.
There's been a bit of a trade. And then it's become like, I guess, socially accepted that it's like a universal thing, for lack of a better phrase. So you don't have to follow any particular philosophy to be into chakras. In fact, you find that 99% of people who are spiritual, and I say that because not, when I say spiritual, meaning that people who practice yoga, they might call themselves spiritual because they practice yoga, although they don't do it for spiritual practice.
Yes, because there is a lot of people that do it for the physical benefits.
So people who tend to do things that are associated with spirituality tend to be aware of chakras. Like, I think it's a little bit funny, like, I think I shared with you off air the other morning when I was driving to the gym. I have this particular chakra activation audio that I listened to.
Yes, you did.
With, I'm pretty sure it's Bradley Morris. And I was doing it in the car, and he goes through these different vocal toning things, which we can get into more detail. But vocal toning is where you basically hold a particular note and a particular sound, and the vibration resonates with that particular chakra, and then you work your way up through the chakras and whatever. And I'd been singing for like 25 minutes in the car doing this, like, like for a really long time.
Oh, that was really good too.
I can do it longer, but I've got my manly voice on today. It sounds weird. My Richard Mercer.
I was gonna say, talking radio shows.
But then when I got to the gym, I was like singing to every single song in my class. And everyone's like, you're really singy today. I'm like, I think it's because I've warmed up my vocal cords.
I was going to say, you've opened your throat chakra.
And I was hitting some seriously high notes that class. Because I went right up and
Because it would be that gentle progression kind of thing. So you would help to get you up there.
Yeah. And it's like, next minute I was like dancing to one of the African songs. I'm like harmonizing with the lead notes. And then one of my friends is like, okay, Lion King ensemble.
Oh, I love it.
Anyways, I digress.
We like to digress a little, don't we?
So what else do you know about the general gist of chakras? Like, where do we want to go with this?
Yeah, so I guess, what are they? They're energy centers in the body, and they're centers that receive, assimilate, express life force energy.
So if I cut you open right now, I wouldn't do it because I don't believe in that. But if I did an autopsy, would I be able to find your chakra?
No. Although it is said that there are actually, in the certain points of where the chakras are along the spine, that there are clusters of nerves in each, corresponding with each. Which is very interesting. But however, as it is, it's an energetic map of the body. So we have lots of, we have nadis or meridians, which are all just energy lines running through the body, which are kind of, I guess, similar to veins or nerve endings, that kind of thing. But you, they're not a physical.
It's almost like the ley lines that exist on the earth.
Because
like microcosm, macrocosom, like we have a similar thing to the earth.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And then where all those little channels meet is, I guess, the energy starts to pull a little bit, and that's where we have different chakra points or energy centers. So that's basically, I guess, what they are. And like we have over 70,000 different nadis and meridians and energy channels running through our body.
Can you imagine if someone's like, oh, my... my 65,222nd nadi is blocked right now. I just need to get that fixed.
I know.
What?
Isn't it? I know. It's amazing. It's crazy. Mm. But, and we do have a lot of other, there's the seven main ones, which is what we're going to chat about today, that most people know. But there are a lot of what we call, I don't like to use the word minor chakras because we don't want to make them feel like
inferior, like yeah. when they're trying to denounce Pluto as a planet.
I am still so sad about that.
I'm like, excuse you, how rude. Pluto is important.
That's right. It was like one of my favorite planets.
Yeah, and you're just dethroning Pluto.
Gone. Yeah, that's it. But we do. We have lots of little, lots of them all over the body and in different parts. There's also different ones for different traditions and things like that as well. But we're going to stick to the seven
traditional
sort
ones.
Of, yeah, the seven main. Yeah, the seven main ones. And they run up and down the, like, the spinal column.
That
central channel, I guess, as we would call it.
Awesome.
Want a better word? Yeah.
So then let's deconstruct that a little bit. So we've got seven, but they're usually split into different groups. So tell us about that, Vicky.
Yeah, so often what it kind of goes from, we go from the base, so the lowest one, we move from our most basic one. Is our most basic physical aspect of self. And then as we move up, it's kind of like a scale. We generally, that gentle progression up to the top, and then that's our most, I guess, our most etheric or subtle aspect of self. So we go from the densest frequency to the lightest, from the bass note to the highest. It's that
kind of also from that progression. Even in colors, like we go from like the darker colors up to the whiter colors.
Yeah, that's it. So it's that different spectrum. And so then there's also they've also kind of been split into three to separate ones as well. So the three lower are usually associated with the external world or our connection to the outside world, the physical, more earth-based kind of things.
And then the warmer colors.
Yep, which they are, which are very earthy sort of colors. And then you've got your top three, which are more with our internal or our connection to self, our inner life, spiritual aspects, all of those sorts of things. And they are the lighter sort of dreamier colors, I like to say. They've got those. And then we've got the heart, which is the bridge between the two aspects.
It's funny, there's actually a little bit of correspondence. Like it's been a while since I studied this particular theory, but when I used to study psych, there's a little bit of crossover with Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Yes.
And with the color pyramid that Maslow talks about. If you're into psychology and you look up Maslow's hierarchy of needs, you'll understand what I'm talking about. I don't have a visual prompt for you right now, but basically it's like you could overlay it with chakras very easily, which is why I love psychology, because there's a lot of like spiritual stuff that crosses over.
And that's the beautiful with the chakras as well. Like you can go into that really psychological aspects of different things and our developmental aspects as well. All of those kind of things.
Pausing for one moment, because I'm only going to touch on it very briefly, but there is actually a book that I've got which talks about exactly that. So you've just segued without realizing it.
See, look at me go. I can touch it without even knowing.
Holding up for those on YouTube. Calm down, Janine. the body is the barometer of the soul. So this one is by Annette Nuntil. So it's believed, like this is obviously a theory, like anything, it's theoretical, we can't prove it. But in this, Annette has actually written about every single major, like every bone, every organ, every, like basically every single part of the body, even so much so as like, if you look, it's got like pictures of the foot and the hand and the everything.
All
and so every little metacarpal and metatarsal and...
Yeah.
And like every little bone that exists in the entire body, as well as each tooth, like each tooth, like, you know, depending on which one it is, like on whether it's left side, right side, top or bottom, like they all have a different meaning. And what she's said is that each body part, when you have illness, it's like the body is the barometer of the soul. So when you have illness or dis-ease, it means that there's something going on in that part of your spirituality or your psychology or something. Mm-hmm. So she's kind of bridging the gaps between psychology, spirituality, medicine, kind of mixing it all together.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's good as a healer. Like this was actually recommended for me by my Reiki master when I did Reiki. So,
because we hold a lot of emotions in our body, in our physical body. Yeah.
No, I won't go on another tangent. You just got something else from me. So I'll touch on it briefly. When I was actually doing my training for neurolinguistic programming and timeline therapy, we did 10 days worth of training. It was very intense, like getting into the emotion so much. Mm-hmm. And then we did what we call a breakthrough session, which is where you purge all the shit out of your deep psychology. I was holding on to so much trauma within my body that during the purging, a bruise manifested on my arm, like here, like a massive bruise. And it was that bruise. And I remember when that bruise occurred, it was when I was like a teenager that, without going too deep, but I don't mind, but there was some family violence going on and I got bruised. And like that bruise like took ages to heal and it replicated itself when I released it. And it went like almost instantly black, purple, and then went yellow, and then eventually faded over the next couple of days. But like it was so tender. It was like a fresh bruise, as if someone beat the shit out of me. I hope I haven't triggered anyone.
Oh, no, no, no. But like it's that. Wow.
Because my body was holding onto the trauma in my nervous system. And then finally, when I purged the emotional attachment, the bruise manifested and then disappeared, and then I'm like
healed itself, released itself.
I cannot believe that happened, and like no one in the room would believe it, except that they saw the bruise. So shout out to Jackie and everyone else that was there who saw it. So it was a bit bizarre, but that's what I mean, like the power of our brain and what it can do is that we don't realize that it's storing all of these like triggers and all of these stories and all of these like
everything, even like our emotions that we stuff down and don't allow ourselves to feel and things like that, it just creates that stuckness in our physical body. You
know? Well, I mean, if you're a water sign, not like some air signs, you're like, oh, emotion, what's that?
Don't have any. I avoid emotion. We can switch that shit off.
You have two emotions, aloof and aloof. I'm joking.
I could just switch that off. I'm like, what was it? Vampire Diaries, where they could switch off their emotions.
Switch off the emotion.
They must have been air signs. It's okay. Oh, I'm an air sign, so to all the air signs out there, it's okay.
Yeah, and I know, I apologize. I'm throwing shade because I can. It's fun. But I mean it in jest. So let's start. So Vicky, tell us about the root chakra.
So the root chakra, lovely, lovely. So that is located at the base of the spine, or if you want to get really technical, the coccyx, or like I like to call it our tailbone. If we had a tail, that's where it would be.
Yep.
that's where it would be. So that one's a beautiful, deep, deep red color there with that one. Sorry, I'm just going to flick over so that I don't lose my page and have the correct stuff here.
Yes, because we do prepare for our episodes.
We do prepare, that's it. It's like, I know most of it, but it's nice to have that nice visual prompter as well, so that in case I forget anything, it's all there. So for the Sanskrit word for it as well is Muladhara, which means root support. So that kind of gives you, I guess, a little bit of an idea of what it's about. So it's really associated, as we spoke before, with earth, with grounding, creating those roots or that foundational kind of thing, our survival, our security, stability, our family has a lot to do with family. Like that's that, again, that base support aspect, food, matter, and beginnings, because it is the first one and it is where most things sort of start. You can also be associated with, for our body parts, so it's all the lower body, so our legs, our feet, our bones, because again, the bones are like the foundational structure of our body. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's a general, very sort of quick general kind of area. It's really to do with that foundational stuff, that grounding, safety, security, support. And like, as you said, as you were linking it to Maslow's last time, it's that really that first.
Yeah, it's about basically all the earthy stuff. If you think tarot, think esoteric, all the earthy stuff. There's a security, stability, like structure, foundation. Yeah. Also, trust is another one.
Yes.
Oftentimes, people who have some root chakra stuff that needs dealing with, it's usually around trust issues.
Yeah.
So it's all like really basal kind of, I guess you'd call it like almost instinctive.
Yeah, those because like it is like, it's that survival instinct, all of that sort of stuff. And if you look at it elemental, like with the correspondence of the elements as well, so earth, like you said, it's foundational, all that stuff.
Yeah. And what about other correspondences? So do you like, because obviously you touched on the fact that it was colored is red.
Yes, it's a nice deep red. Mm-hmm. That one. Also, if because one way to work with them, like you were mentioning before, is the sound and intoning, mm-hmm. and things like that. So the seed sound for the root chakra, or sometimes known as the base chakra, is lam. Mm-hmm. So that's one that's, it's nice to, that's a really great way to work with the chakras as well on your own, is to actually just vibrate that particular one while visualizing the colors.
Visualize the colors down there.
Down there. I'm like, down there. I'm like, down there. It's a little bit weird, is it?
I've actually cracked jokes at people. I'm like, you can stick that up your root chakra. Like, if I want to say stick that up your ass, I say stick that up your root chakra instead. And they're like, what? And I'm like, never mind.
It's okay.
Also, another correspondence with this one is that the ruling planet for this one is Mars.
Yes.
So if you think of the energy of Mars, for those, we could probably even do an episode on the planets, to be honest.
Yeah, that would be good. Yes, there we go. Yeah,
there we go. Now, maybe that down. I was going to say, do you want to know that down? Because I'm shit at keeping notes. But yeah, so like the element of Mars. So if you think of Mars as an archetype, it's all of that. Now I've lost my train of thought. But Mars is all about like how you take action in the world.
Yeah.
So it's, are you fearful or do you take action?
Yeah.
Are you an avoidance person or are you an action taker? So it's that fight or flight kind of instinct that Mars represents as well.
Yes. I'd never thought of Mars energy that way as well, that instinctive fight or flight.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you think of Mars as an archetype, he's a god of war. But when I say war, it doesn't mean god of fighting. It's that, you know, because there's offense and there's defense. So it's that fight or flight. Like, you can be completely on the defense and just run, like, escape, get out.
I'm getting out.
What's the word? Hang on. When army, retreat, like, get out of here. Not safe. Or you can just, like, fight your way through it. So that's what I often associate with Mars energy for me, anyway.
Yeah. That's perfect. I like that. I love it. So shall we move maybe now to the sacral, which is, I know, a lot to do with emotions and things?
Yes. So the sacral chakra. So this one is located about 2 inches under the navel. So it's kind of just below your belly button. Mm-hmm. Think around the nether regions in your fun zone.
I love it.
So basically the sacral chakra is all about sexuality, as well as creativity. Now, when I say creativity, it's in two parts. So creativity meaning creative expression, but it's also like creating life. Because if you think it's your reproduction organs. In addition to that, like, we don't just have sex in order to procreate. Also, we have sex for pleasure. So it's also known as being your pleasure center, your sacral chakra. Yep. So if you're someone who's, you know, I mean, we've all been there pre-marriage, like pre-meeting Chris, I went through that phase of, you know, mm-hmm. having fun and
having a bit of fun,
random hookups and stuff. And like, and it's funny I say this, but like, I basically just described it as just having an overactive sacral chakra. I'm not a whore. I just have an overactive sacral chakra.
I love that.
Oh my God. Like, so many funny jokes we can say. All these spiritual puns and innuendos.
There is so many.
So for the sacral chakra, otherwise known as the, hang on, I'm going to screw this one up. It's the Svadhisthana.
Svadhisthana.
Yep. So it's symbolic of a lotus flower with 6 petals.
Yeah.
I actually have a visual here if anyone is looking on YouTube. Beautiful. I didn't even think of that for yours. And it's associated with the element of water. So that's all the emotions that are attached to like your sexuality, yeah, your pleasure, your creativity, all that kind of stuff,
yeah,
as well. And the element of taste. So this color is like a deep orange.
Yeah.
And the ruling planet is Mercury. So if you think about Mercury as a planet, Mercury is all about, well, as well as being about communication and stuff like that, but wasn't Mercury also the planet of expression?
Yeah, I think so. And there's also sort of like Mercury as a, like an element of its own. Isn't that kind of like, it's a bit of that flow. It's a
flowy, yeah,
flowy kind of in between states. It's not quite liquid. It's not quite solid. So it's got that flow.
Mm. So oftentimes you'll find people that have a blockage in their sacral chakra might have intimacy issues,
yeah,
or anything,
yeah,
to do with sexual energy, whether it's overactive or underactive, it can manifest, mm, in ways. Or if it's blocked, they may just be live a sexless life and just not interested.
Just no.
So these are often the telltale signs. If you find your libido is a little bit lacking, it, yeah, might mean that you're still holding on to some old stories about your sexuality or about, you know, your pleasure, and that it's like, we're an adult podcast, so, yes, we can talk about this stuff. Like, it's okay to experience pleasure.
Yeah,
let's just put that out there.
Well, that's it. But then it's also kind of a bit of a societal thing that, mm, it's a bit of a taboo thing to,
and
kind
it's
of
shunned and, yeah, bound upon. Like,
yeah,
no,
that's right. Which creates a lot of shame, which can create a lot of blockages then in,
yeah,
your sacral area.
Absolutely. So, that's the main things I want to talk about.
Yeah,
but that,
yeah,
it's,
yeah,
around the reproductive organs is the, yeah, main region for that one. So,
that one, there's no, yeah.
Yeah. So tell us about the solar plexus.
Solar plexus. So that is located above the navel, below the sternum. So kind of where the ribs start to separate into sort of those two little bits.
Yeah.
It's this really bit, yeah, right in our center, right in the center. So that's your solar plexus. And it's a beautiful, really bright yellow color. Mm-hmm. It's known as Manipura, mm-hmm, in Sanskrit, which
I
means,
love that word.
I do too. That's my favorite one. I love
Manipura.
To say it. Manipura. I love to say it all the time. which means lustrous gem.
Oh.
Yeah, which is very interesting. So it's to do with, so the element that it's associated with is fire. Which kind of gives you, I guess, a little bit of a hint to what it all is about as well. It's a lot to do with our personal power. It's really that power center, our autonomy, being autonomous within the world, our willpower, our intention. It's to do with energy, confidence, our self-esteem, assertiveness, our finding our purpose. Mm-hmm. It's all that kind of, I guess, action kind of based.
Yeah, action, 100%.
Like it's that action sort of movement. And then also with the element of fire as well, it's the transformation and where we can move from for transformation, because we need to be in our personal power to,
yeah,
be able to move through that kind of transformational sort of things. I guess,
for
want a better word.
And when I used to do Tai Chi many years ago, so I learned about the solar plexus in a different way. So in Chinese, in martial arts, they like any type of,
yes,
Qigong or Tai Chi or anything, they call that area the Dan Tien.
Yeah.
Dan Tien. So it's loosely translated as either elixir field or sea of chi or simply energy center, like,
yeah,
depending on which character they use and whatnot.
Yeah.
So that's that region. So you'd always breathe into your Dan Tien and,
yeah,
create the chi. Central. And then that's where you manifest the chi ball out through your hands and da 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 and all that stuff.
I love it. Which I was gonna say, which I love all of that sort of stuff. And like this is where they can all be used a little bit as well within like spell work or intentions and ritual work and things like that. Like you can tap into that energy,
mm,
if you want to, I guess, a spell for confidence, or you're going for a job interview or things like that, where you want to exude that confidence and success and things like that. That's where you can be sort of directing and channeling that power from through the solar plexus.
Hmm.
Yeah. And so that's all to do with it, everything kind of in that area is, it's really to do with the digestive system,
mm-hmm,
liver, gallbladder, the adrenals. And back to what we were saying a little bit before, how like we hold a lot of emotions and things in our bodies and different parts of the bodies. The stomach is one of the ones that really holds a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And like, that's where you'll find a lot of people with digestive issues and things like that. It's a lot to do with as well as holding on to those emotions and things like the liver and gallbladder as well in Chinese systems is to do with anger and resentment and and things like that. So if we're holding that in and we're keeping it in our stomach.
And that's why, like, if you think of it even just physically, like when you go on roller coasters, like these people who say, I don't like that sick feeling. It took me a while to learn that you only get that sick feeling when you tense up your stomach on a roller coaster because you're anticipating the fear factor. It's only when I learned to just let go, throw the hands down and just scream, there's no sick feeling because you're not tensing up and you don't feel like,
you're not holding everything in. Yeah.
As a solar plexus, so this one, obviously the name, solar plexus, it's connected to the sun.
That's right.
So what does the sun teach us?
So the sun, I mean, it's all of those sort of things. Like it's the center of our, it's what warms all of the earth. It's often associated in different ways to, like, the sun god. The god is often associated with that solar aspect. So it's that masculine action, all of those sort of types of things, which really that power, that confidence, that assertiveness, that's what I think they go really beautifully. And you can kind of imagine it like this little sun in your center.
Yeah, sun that expands.
Yeah, out. That expands from here and can warm the body and give you that boost of vitality.
And I often say that, like, because I associate it with tarot, like the sun card is all about shining your light and being a beacon to others and about, like, the innocence and the vulnerability of just expressing your personal power and not having that filter that society gives us. So I love all those little connections.
Yeah, and they even, like, you mentioned with the tarot, like, you can also use all of these as well, like their color associations and things like that when you're actually reading tarot as well. I learned this from you, like, if there's a lot of yellow in the card or in the background, it's usually a lot to do with the action and being confident and moving forward and things like that. So they can correspond that way a little bit as well. So then, yeah, so I think that's about all for the solar plexus. I think we covered that pretty well. So what have we got happening at our next one, our heart chakra?
Well, I thought maybe before we touch on the heart, because we've done the base three, let's throw to our first little song. So this is where I'm going to have to cut and edit this video. So again, if you're watching on YouTube, go back and listen to it on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or any of those streaming services, and you'll be able to hear the song. So,
and we'll put the like names of the songs and things on there as well, so you can just go listen to them too.
Yeah. So enjoy, guys.
Enjoy.
Welcome back.
We're back.
So for those watching on YouTube, they're probably thinking, oh, that was so weird.
That was really awkward. I was like, that's really awkward.
So we're talking about the chakras, and we're up to the bridge, which is otherwise known as the heart chakra. So
tell us some more about that.
The heart chakra, which is the Anahata.
Yep.
So obviously the heart chakra is connected to love and healing, self-acceptance, relationships. Just think of all the lovey-dovey. It's a heart chakra. So think of all the matters of the heart and what that can entail. Like, anyone that's a healer will know that when we do Reiki, we always have to make sure that it's nothing but love coming out of us. So we have to clear the mind and only exude love. Same thing when you're doing crystal healing. It's always from the heart space. And so whenever I do meditations, I always go through, like, relaxing the whole body, and then I always bring it back to the heart space, so that you're breathing into that heart space. So then you're allowing those ripples to kind of cascade out into the auric field and stuff like that. So it's the center of the chest around the sternum. It's represented by a lotus flower with 12 petals. Here's another visual for those watching on YouTube.
Oh, beautiful.
So it's all about the sense of touch. So this one's associated with the element of air. And its ruling planet is Venus, surprise, surprise, being the goddess of love.
Yes.
Obviously it's all about love and self-acceptance and relationships and healing. And whilst we say it's green, I've often heard that it's green, but with a pink center. So if you think of, like,
sort of back and forth with that a little bit, whether it's the green or the pink or whatever. So
I mean, and then there are some theories that talk about this higher heart chakra and all this kind of stuff. I don't want to overcomplicate it. Let's just go with the main one that everyone talks about.
And I like that, with the pink in the center and the
green on the outside. Because I've used, for the heart space, I'll either use green stones, green crystals, or I will use pink stones. So sometimes, like, you know, because aventurine is great for communication with a partner, whereas, rose quartz is good for, like, self-acceptance and self-love. And yeah. sometimes I use the two together. If I'm doing, like, if I know yeah. that I'm healing specifically the heart space, I'll do a little crystal grid around the heart space when I'm laying down with like a couple of different little points and whatnot of the two.
That'd be beautiful.
Aventurine yeah. And rose quartz, just to kind of really tap into that heart space.
Bring it all together. Because that's, I think that's one thing that you touched on. That's one thing that we kind of don't always go to with the heart chakra. It's often about the external love.
Mm-hmm.
But it's that self-love.
Oh, self-love is huge.
Yeah.
And like, not to go too much down this road, but what I was thinking is, like, for example, like, there is enough judgment and
yeah.
not hatred, but just negativity out yeah. in the world. Like, you don't need to harbor any of that shit for yourself.
No.
Like, and unfortunately, we're told or taught, conditioned to believe that, like, it's self-indulgent to love yourself, but
yes, yeah, isn't it?
But I love the phrase from RuPaul, who says it so eloquently: if you can't love yourself, how the hell are you gonna love somebody else?
Yes, that is the biggest mic drop moment ever. I love that.
Yeah, and he says that at the end of every yeah. single episode. Shout out to anyone that watches RuPaul's Drag Race. Yes. I love it. And anyway, so it's like, it's that whole thing of like, you need so to true. Cultivate self-love first before you can love others.
Yeah,
because otherwise right. it's just, I don't know. I just believe that it's...
Yeah, I agree. It's such a big part of it, because otherwise we're looking for something that we think is deficient in us, and that's mm-hmm. what we're looking for in a partner, to try to fill that
gap.
Void or fill that gap. But really, we need to be able to come together as two whole beings, not because we sort of fill one void or another. We need to be both.
Yeah, whole. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So... let's move on now. So Vicky, tell us a little bit about the throat chakra.
So the throat chakra is obviously at the throat, just right in there. Or I think they kind of say, is that the nape of the neck? Where that the little divotly bit there. So it's a beautiful bright blue color, the throat chakra. So it's known in Sanskrit as Vishuddha, I love it, which means purification. Which is very interesting, I think. So it's associated with the element of ether or akasha, which is sort of the spirit, that mm-hmm. ethereal kind of thing. And it's really associated with sound, quite clearly.
We talk through it.
We've got everything. So sound and vibration are very, very much around this one. But its big part, I guess, is about communication and mm-hmm. speaking your truth. And I guess the biggest thing that we often forget is communication is two ways. So we need to be not only
speak
our truth.
No, it's only one way. It's I speak, you listen. One way.
That's it. It's one
joking.
Way.
joking.
But that's it. We often associate this one a lot more with speaking our truth and being able to be heard and saying those things that we may not like, standing up for ourselves and that. But communication takes that, which is a really big part of it, is listening, is being able to listen as well.
Wait, what?
For that truth.
I'm joking.
So, over here, come on, focus now. So listening, but it's also that discernment as well. Mm-hmm. Discernment. It can also be associated a little bit with creativity as well, in the fact where if we're speaking our truth and we're not holding things back, we can then start to manifest ideas and speak them out into the world. So it goes beyond just being in our head. We can speak them out into the world, and then other ones we can actually take action.
I think it's worthwhile touching on that note as well, because witches, like, we live by our words.
Yes, yeah, that's so, right, the power of our words.
Exactly. So, like, let's just sit on that for a sec. Like, yeah. Witches, I'm talking to you.
Yes.
Like, we've touched on it a couple of episodes now, but the power of the word, as someone who lives by their word, is so extremely powerful. Like, if you, like, you could be actively contributing to a blocked or unbalanced throat chakra by being a keyboard warrior on the internet.
That's right.
Think about that for a second.
Spoken,
yeah,
as well. It can be, yeah, it's the same thing. It's that communication, it's getting it across.
Like, and we're always taught at a young age, our mums always say to us, I don't know why it's always our mums, but it is. It's like,
yeah, usually
if you
is.
Don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all.
Yes.
And I think there's some wisdom there.
There is.
They must have known about their throat chakras before they realized.
That's from Bambi.
Is it?
Yeah, it's Thumper, the little rabbit.
I've never actually watched Bambi.
Oh, I've only ever watched a little bit, and spoiler alert, his mum died. So then I cried and then watched the rest of it ever again.
That's tragic. Why are we showing this to kids?
This is the thing. All that you look back at all those Disney movies and stuff, they all have a parent that dies or something. Like, this is tragedy. But yes, that was his little friend Thumper, had to say it.
I actually have a funny story about throat chakra. So I've shared this with you, so I know it's you've heard this before. But so I went to the doctor once. I think I was just going for a med cert or getting results for a test or something. I don't remember, something really arbitrary. And when I woke in, I was like coughing a lot and I had a really croaky sounding voice. You can tell when I'm sick because I go really manly.
Oh, you go really deep.
I go really manly. Like, anyway, so I went into the doctor. I was talking to the doctor and they're like, oh, you sound a little bit sick. Like, are you okay? And I'm like, oh, no, it's okay. Like, you know, my glands are swollen. My throat's a bit sore. My tonsils are a little bit raised and like the little uvula's kind of looking a bit thing. But it's okay. Like, I've just got some throat chakra stuff going on. Like, don't worry about it. And the doctor's just like, what? Like, I can give you some antibiotics. Like, no. I just need to speak my truth a little bit more. And just like cyclically dust the cobwebs away from my throat chakra. And just like, I just need to sing a little bit more just to like express it and just to rattle all those cobwebs out. And the doctor's just looking at me like, I'm a fruitcake. I feel like if I didn't shut up, he probably would have written antipsychotics or something, given me a script.
I was about to say, you would have got a new script somewhere. I love that.
It's just my throat chakra. Yeah.
Not speaking my truth.
Oh, actually, on that note, we touched on this on the Crystal episode. So we were talking about Soda Light.
Yes.
And I happen to have it here still. So the Soda Light, I used to wear this all the time. Yep. But now it's obviously in two pieces. I'm showing it up for visual cues for those on YouTube.
It's like a little plate.
And Soda Light is all about learning to speak your truth. And it's not until I started to really assert and speak my truth and live that truth that it snapped. So there's a little bit of a...
I love that.
But go back and listen to that episode.
Yes, go back and listen to that
video. The previous one.
You'll find out all about it. So yeah, so it's obviously... things like that, things to do with our physical body. It's our throat, our thyroid, even kind of our shoulders a little bit as well. So like the neck and shoulder area, all sorts of stuff to do with that kind of area.
And it's a lotus flower with 16 petals.
Yeah.
Visual cue. Pretty.
Visual, thank you. So then from there, we move up to the third eye. So tell us a bit about the third eye.
The third eye chakra is my favorite. So it's basically located between the brows. If you ever see a picture of, is it Shiva or Vishnu or both?
Shiva, I think.
I think it's Shiva. He always has an extra eye drawn here. So the third eye is quite literally between the brows at this point, which is why I was always taught in psychic development and mediumship never to put your hand up at someone's face like here, or not to point at someone like really close to them and point to that area, because it's like
pointing at their eye, like poking out their eye.
As in like legit, like if you're someone who has a very open third eye, that can feel really threatening. And anyway, so because
that's a good tip. I'd never thought of
it. Oh yeah, because once time someone was arguing with someone and they were like getting very judgy finger out. And the teacher's like, "Oi, don't stick your finger near their eye."
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's really true. I love that.
So it's a lotus flower with two petals.
Two petals.
So one on each side.
And doesn't that look like an eye?
It does look like an eye because it's picture. Got a petal that way. Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, because it's just two petals, one top and bottom.
Yeah, so it's the center of the forehead between the brows. It's known as the Ajna in Sanskrit. Ajna.
Yep.
So it's associated with the sixth sense, as in, I see dead people.
I was going to say, what was his name? Hayley Joel, wasn't it?
Yeah. I see dead people. I used to go up to my friends and go, I see gay people. Every time we'd be out at a club and they're like, oh my God, you're an idiot. Anyway, so the color is indigo. So it's not quite blue, not quite purple, somewhere in between.
Yep.
It's that color, if you can see visually. It's that really bright. It's almost like when you get a really deep pair of denim.
Yes.
Really deep pair of denim.
Yeah.
Anyway, so with the third eye, it's all about awareness. It's about intuition. Mm-hmm. It's about your purpose, your direction. So when you have a active or activated, I guess, yes, third eye chakra,
yep.
then you're able to have foresight. So it's not just about intuition and seeing spirit or seeing energy or seeing psychic things. It's also about being able to have vision for your future.
Yes.
So sometimes, like, because not everything has a spiritual connotation. It, no. Like, when they do, but it, they have a physical one as well. It so has, people like, who have a blocked... People who have a blocked third eye, often they are people that can't really plan their future, or they can't see their future very easily.
Yeah.
And they have a kind of no direction and all that kind of stuff. So it cleans that one and then you're back to normal.
Yeah.
So.
And isn't it also sort of like being able to see clearly, as in like
The
physical world, see what's actually in front of you, or
especially,
what's actually happening.
Especially when it comes to people when they're... I see this a lot as a coach. When people, especially in relationships, they're going through some relationship troubles, and I feel a little bit guilty every time it happens, but it's only for a split second, and I'm like, no, I'm doing them a service here. So when I bring to their awareness about the truth of a situation that they're in, and they finally see it for the first time, I joked to Chris and I said, oh, maybe I shouldn't be a relationship coach. He's like, why? I'm like, because a couple of people that have come to me to fix their relationship ended up breaking up with their partner.
Oh, no!
And he's like, that's not a bad thing. It probably wasn't a good relationship.
That's exactly it. Just because you're in a relationship or that you're together
doesn't mean you should.
No, it doesn't always mean that you should stay there. So.
No, because sometimes like we change and evolve and we grow out.
We do.
We grow apart and that's perfectly normal. Like,
yeah, and it's okay. Like, it really is okay.
So when people sometimes awaken their third eye and start to see the world for what it is.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, that's why we call it an awakening.
Yes. It's especially, kind of like that veil's been lifted, or those, what are they, the rose-colored glasses have been taken off.
Yeah. And you start to see the world for what it really is. And then you're like, oh, shit, this is my life.
Okay. Yes. Oh, that's not quite what I thought it was going to be.
So... let's take it up a notch. So from the third eye, we're starting to get into all the spiritual stuff. So what's the next one?
So the next one is our crown chakra, which is, I've always seen it as at the top of our head.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of at the top of the head, and it's usually white, or it can also be a violet color. So that end of the spectrum of the colors. So it's, that beautiful color there. So it's known in Sanskrit as Sahasrara. That's a lot of auras and stuff in there, but it's known as the thousand petal lotus, so it's beautiful. And if you are looking on YouTube, you will notice that there is a nice lotus above my head.
She planted that.
I actually didn't. I just put it because I thought it'd be a nice background. But look at that. How evolved does that make me look?
Well, so you had to put a picture behind you. Did you know my name in Japanese, Daren? So Da means a rudder.
Yeah.
Go work with me here. Ren means lotus flower. So when I pieced it together, because a lotus symbolizes purity and enlightenment, but they always grow in mud.
That's
and
why I love them.
In Buddhism, mud represents the attachments and desires of the physical world, because in Buddhism, it's to navigate oneself through life and detach from the attachments and desires in life. So my name, Daren, means he who steers his boat through attachments and desires in order to achieve enlightenment.
I love
Hashtag, you're welcome. Thanks, Mom and Dad, for giving me a name that took me 36 years to fall in love with.
I love that. That is so cool.
Yeah, and shout out to my friend Kaori-san. She gave me she chose the characters for my name. But anyway, back to you and your flower that you had to artificially put there.
Back to me and mine that I had to pretend.
Even though I have one in my name.
You actually
go on with your flower.
Have one. It's fine. Fine.
So, crown chakra.
It's crown chakra. So it's a lot to do with our thought, our understanding, knowledge, information and knowing. And then, of course, we go into that transcendence, that bliss state, meditation, our connection to source, the universe, divine, whatever, and insert whatever resonates with you here. It's that higher knowing, all of those, all that good stuff. all awesome. The higher stuff.
Yeah, yeah, so it's like that whole connection with spirit, source, yeah. angels, God, divas, like whatever you want to call them.
Whatever, yeah, that's it. Whatever yeah. kind of resonates with you. And like how we said, that's from the bottom to the top. So that's the highest note, the least dense, well, the lightest.
In the seven.
In the seven, yes, just in the seven.
Let's not touch the 10 or the 12 or the 22. No,
we're doing seven. We're doing seven today. So it's to do with our nervous system, the cerebral cortex, mm-hmm. the brain, but that's the main kind of areas. It also has a lot to do with, I guess, our connection as well, like that mm-hmm. having that connection to spirit or having that connection to whatever can create, if we don't have it, that can create that disconnect.
Or that sense isolation. Of loneliness and
exactly. that isolation and things like that. So,
and a lot of times when people have a blocked or imbalanced crown chakra, they can feel that existential, like, do I belong here? They almost feel like imposter syndrome.
Yep.
Because they don't know the meaning or the what's reason for their existence in this world.
Yeah, like the why.
Why am I here? Like, what's my purpose? Or, like, I know we've talked about purpose on a few different ones, but that's very much an existential crisis mode is when the crown chakra is, like, all fucked.
Yeah.
That's a technical term. When your crown chakra is fucked.
That's, you're screwed then. You just need to sort that out.
So
I unfuck it.
Unfuck your chakras with us. I think it's time for another song. Shall we go
I
to
think
another song?
So yes.
Enjoy.
So here's another one. Enjoy.
And welcome back.
And now I'm giggling this time because that was just weird and awkward.
But no, do let us know if you're liking the little song throwaways, like throw to a song kind of thing. That's what I was trying to go with. Throng to a song. Yeah,
I love it.
So let's have a little bit of a banter about the chakras, because like
I love that.
We'll have a little bit of banter, like a bit back and forth about it. So like obviously we've talked a lot about what they are, where they are, all that kind of stuff, but let's say we identify that there's a blockage or whatever, but let's take a step back.
Yeah, let's go to...
Like, our life is fucked and we can't work out why. We're doing all the things, but something energetically still not shifting. Yes. How can we find that if it's chakra related?
Oh, that's a really good question. But, so the best way is, I guess, to work with the chakras and mm-hmm. then knowing these different correspondences and knowing, treating them a little bit like a filing cabinet of little pockets of knowledge. Yeah, it's a weird little visual, but it's just little pockets of information together. We can use things like meditation. You can mm-hmm. use getting like that self-inquiry meditation, starting to think about what are those things that are triggering me? What area of my life am I getting blocked in? What, all of those kind of questions. And then we can start to then align them with, that might be a root chakra kind of area, or it might be something to do with the solar plexus or whatever it is, and then you can be using sound is another great one as well. Uh-huh. Using, like we've mentioned a few times, using the vibrations. There's different, each one resonates at a different frequency, they resonate at a different hertz, different note, all of that kind of thing. We can use aromatherapy, we can use the colors, all of those kind of things. But I think meditation and sound are probably the big one, and going into that self-inquiry kind of thing of what is, and being aware of when, if you say you're doing a meditation, you can do, there's a lot of them out there that are like a chakra clearing and all mm-hmm. of those kind of things. And when you're doing, start to take note of what are the thoughts that pop into your head, what are the like a memory or a visual or a flash of something, and start to write that down and get into the journaling side of things and start writing it down and nutting it down, I guess. Then you can kind of piece it out a little bit. What is it, like a flow chart, I guess, sort of thing. So we go from this place, that might have a reason there and there and there, and that's a way we can work with them. A
side note as well on that, just because you mentioned about sound therapy and stuff like that, so I'm a bit of a sneaky witch, so I, with the backing tracks, a lot of the times in our episodes, so if you're watching this on YouTube, you have no idea what I'm talking about, but if you listen to us on the podcast platforms, the backing tracks that I have on a lot of our episodes when we're not interviewing someone, I actually choose particular songs based on their resonating frequency. Even though the music's really low, your ear is still picking up on it because the vibrations are still there in the sound waves that you're hearing, especially if you're wearing headphones.
Yes.
So Hashtag you're welcome. Because I have been sneakily clear chakras and heal certain chakras and energetically uplift you and stuff like that. So in a sneaky witchy kind of way, I've just been like playing with your energy centers without you even knowing about it.
No.
That sounds a bit creepy, actually.
I was about to say that's a little bit creepy, a bit stalkerish.
What are you wearing? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, that's it. Well, I'm wearing all the colors of my chakra today.
Yes, but with regards to when you talked about frequencies and stuff, I've been to sound therapy sessions with Katie Underwood. So I think I may have plugged during the meditation episode.
Yeah,
But shout out to Katie if you're listening. So Katie Underwood. So some of you from Australia will know her as one of the former singers of Bardo, which was from the Channel 7 show Pop Stars. Yep. But she is a meditation instructor. She's a massage therapist. She's a Reiki instructor. She's a sound therapist. She's so many things. She's one of those people that went to, I'm pretty sure it was the Himalayas, to actually study under the... what's his name? She studied under the person that teaches all of the monks their different mantras. They teach them the mantras to their tone and sing to do that. You know,
which
when
is amazing.
That,
which is
you know when they do their toning where they can get the two sounds coming out of their mouth at once.
Yeah,
like,
it's the most amazing thing.
So she studied under them.
Yep.
And aside from that, like, she's a fucking amazing musician.
Yeah.
And so her sound therapy sessions, we literally. You go in, you do a meditation like to reset and everything. And she uses all her modalities. So she comes in, does a little bit of Reiki over the top of every person in the room while your eyes are shut. She's got tuning forks that she's dinging over you.
Yeah.
She's got singing bowls. She's got drums. She's got a looping machine that she sings one note to and then she loops it and then sings a different note and then loops it. There's like this chorus of angels, but all the angels are Katie. And it's just like... And it's just like, so while you're just laying there, it's like cleansing everything and doing all its thing. You're just in this sound bath and it's just epic. So you could do like things like, you can do a thing like a sound therapy. You can also go see a crystal healer or a Reiki healer or a tantric healer or a insert any other type of energetic healer here. And they can help you with realigning your chakras and getting everything sorted. Apologies for that. We had a few minor technical difficulties. So just full transparency on the day that we were recording, it's extremely hot here in Australia. Poor laptop didn't like it. So I was
sorry.
I may have lost my train of thought, but basically what I was talking about is like going, doing sound therapy, doing Reiki, doing crystal healing, any of those things can help align and balance and all that. The other thing I wanted to mention as well is that if ever doing a guided meditation, pay attention to what type of meditation you're doing. Because Vicky, I don't know if you remember this story, but a while ago, after teaching you guys tarot 1 week, I decided to do it. I thought I was doing a chakra clearing, but what I was actually doing is a chakra activation meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And we finished class at 10 p.m. I then did this meditation and it was a chakra activation. I kid you not, I was up until 6 in the morning.
Yes.
Because all of my energy centers
were
alive.
Everything was going. Like, it's like, yes, woohoo!
It's not to use a drug reference, but it was literally like adrenaline or some other form of substance straight into the body. And
what do they do when they're trying to bring you back and they shove it into your heart?
Yeah, it's like...
I hadn't even thought about that. Yes.
So make sure you
overactive and underactive aspect to it as well. So make sure that whatever you're doing, you're looking for that clearing or cleansing rather than activation. Unless, of course, it's in an appropriate time.
And I actually had, I had a reading once. It was a distance reading done by, he uses this term, not me. He calls himself a shaman.
Yeah.
And he's based down in Geelong. For the life of me, cannot remember his name. It's something Black Bear or I don't know. I can't remember his name, but he's some form of shaman. And anyway, so I had to send him a photo and send him some money. And then he did a reading, a distance reading on me. And he was talking about all of my chakras and about my yin and my yang, my masculine, feminine, all this kind of stuff. And he did it just through my photo. And the stuff he said about me was so, kid you not, fucking spot on.
Yeah.
He literally talked about every chakra, whether it was balanced, unbalanced, whether it was like the percentage, like where it was at.
Oh, wow.
Like which ones needed a top up and all that kind of stuff. And like if
that's
they were.
Awesome.
And he said like some of them were oscillating slower or faster, or some of them were spinning the wrong way, or they were spinning on an angle rather than spinning flat. So they weren't spinning.
Wow.
They were like wobbling, doing a little bit of a.
A little bit of a wobble.
You know, when you have like a top that's like, you know, the.
Yeah, when it
top,
starts to slow like, down. Yeah.
And so all that stuff. And so he did this reading for me distance wise. And then at the end of the reading, he then gave a recommendation. So he actually does a lot of custom jewelry and stuff. Those copper wire things that they look so cool. I haven't yet purchased one, but I want to.
Yeah.
Because I've just been, it's in the back of my mind and I'm like, I'm going to get to buying them. Because
he
has those different, like, because he threads the copper wire to make these little, like, not amplifiers, but they like basically to do with the hertz.
Yes, the different frequency catches and things. So there's often like in the pyramids and things like that where they have
So that, and there's all different shapes and things like that are associated with the different energy centers. And he was like, I think he said that there was two in particular that I would need to basically fix my frequency. So by wearing it, it helps, it absorbs the frequencies and resets.
Helps
the
align them,
all that stuff. So
that's fascinating.
Now that I've said it on the podcast, I'm like, oh shit, I should have just done it. I should have just done it, and I should have just bought it and done it.
Yeah.
And I'll try to find out his name and share it with a future episode.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah, that would be great.
But I think is there anything else you want to cover with the chakras, or are we?
I think we've pretty covered it, because we wanted to just give you like a bit of a base
high level
intro. Yeah, just an intro to the chakras. We thought about maybe at a later date we could do deep dives into each individual. That's something.
Yeah.
So let us know if that's something that you would be interested in doing or not.
And then I can have music in the background that's specific to each chakra.
Yeah.
Boom.
There we go.
Although then I might have to say, warning, this recording contains subliminal thing which will like do whatever. Do not listen to it at 10 o'clock at night.
Make sure it's during the day, please.
Yeah. No, I'll work it out before I do any of that kind of stuff so we can make sure we tell everybody.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So that's what we think. Yeah. I think we've kind of covered it all, given you a bit of an overview.
In fact, on that note, quick plug for future episodes. So coming up in a few weeks' time, so I believe that we'll be airing it during February. So we actually have a special guest, a friend of mine from Canada, and her name is Chakra Girl. So, well, that's not her actual name, Amber Lee Lyons. But
I was going to say, it's not on her birth certificate.
She calls herself Chakra Girl, and she actually has a podcast called Chakra Girl Radio. So we're going to be doing a little bit of a cross collab with her. And she runs a business, and all she does is dealing with people's chakra, chakra imbalances and stuff like that. And she's amazing. So this is like, we wanted to do is a bit of a precursor to that episode.
Yeah, like a bit of
a little bit of a understanding before we jump into that shit. So something to look forward to.
Yeah, can't wait. I'm excited.
So let us know about your songs. Did you like our song selection?
Yes,
we
want to
hear it.
Yeah.
I think we'll choose one each because we got two songs.
We got two in. We got two in, so that's perfect.
I'm talking about it as if it hasn't happened, but we've already listened to it. Anyway. here's a game.
The magic
of editing, post-production. So here's a game. When you've listened to the podcast and you've listened to the songs that we threw to, I want to see how well our listeners know us. We're going to do a poll, and we want you to tell us who selected which song.
Oh, I love this.
Let's just have some games and just fuck with
why not?
Okie dokie. So, on that note, have an amazing day.
Yeah, have a fun day. Bye.